Right, we turn now to God's Word. And I want to turn our thoughts to the 10th chapter of Numbers. In verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel, the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good, for the Lord has spoken good concerning Israel. The particular thought that I want to discuss a little while now is found right in the middle of this verse. We are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. I hope we're all journeying this morning. I hope no one is camped today. And we're all on the move. The verse before this said, thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And I hope all of us are setting forward. And now we're all on the move. Nobody settled down. God has promised us a great land. And many exceeding great and precious promises have been given to us to have and to hold, to enjoy. For this immediate present time in which we live. And I hope that we're all journeying on to the land concerning the which the Lord said, I will give it you. Jesus said, fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And let me remind you, when you get the kingdom, you get everything that the kingdom affords. You get everything in it. In the 8th chapter of Romans, the Apostle Paul said, if God withheld not his Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? He who has Christ has everything. He gives us all things right along with His Son, Jesus Christ. Great promises are given to us and a great habitation is reserved for the children of God if they just get there. If they don't stop short. If they just keep moving till they walk right into the provisions that God has made for them. In the 12th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 8 and 9, he says, ye shall not do after all the things that we do here this day, every man whatsoever is right in his own eyes. For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God hath given you. The next verse goes on to say, but when you cross over Jordan, enter into the promised land, it's going to be thus and thus. So and so, describing the setup that God had for them. I find so many people today doing their own thing, wanting their own way, not being pleased and getting ruffled if they don't get their own way. A lot of folks like that. And there's some maybe in here like that. It's a common saying, present company is always accepted, but I don't count that so when I'm talking about the things of God's Word and people's experience. Present company isn't always accepted. There may be some folks in here like that that want to do your own thing, go your own way. And you're seeking to be pleased rather than to please. The richness of life comes out of pleasing, not in being pleased, but in pleasing. Pleasing God, pleasing our spouses, pleasing one another. The richness of life comes there. People that have to have their own way and do their own thing and are seeking always to be pleased are never happy. Because you're not going to get your way all the time. And everybody isn't going to please you in everything they do. Self-centered people are never happy. But now he says the reason people are this way is because they haven't come yet to the inheritance that he promised to them. The good news that I bring you this morning is that God has promised to you and me a heritage on out beyond that kind of thinking and that kind of doing. That's kind of juvenile behavior anyway. But he's promised us an experience and a grace that's on out beyond that, that we don't have to have our way all the time. We don't have to be pleased and do our own thing. People in the kingdom of God aren't doing their own thing. Said the reason they were doing this was because they hadn't come yet to the place that God had promised unto them. But when you cross over Jordan and get in the land of Canaan, the promised land, it'll be thus and thus, so and so. God has specified rules and regulations of behavior for mature saints. And he wants you and me to grow up, become men for him and women for him, mature in our Christian experience and in our grace with him. Let's just journey on. If we're inclined to get our feelings hurt when things don't please us and when people don't let us have our way and we're not able to do our own thing, rise up and journey on to the land concerning the which the Lord said, I will give it you. He's promised you a better land than that. And he says again in the 11th chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 10, for the land whither thou goest in to possess it is not as the land of Egypt from whence ye came out, where thou sowedst thy seed and wateredst it with thy foot as a garden of herbs. But the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it. From the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. Now he said, in the land that I promise you, it's different from the land of Egypt. That's what you've been used to all your life. You know, sometimes folks tell me, They give us an excuse for unchristlike behavior and manifestations of temper and one thing and another. Well, that's just me. That's just the way I am. My daddy was that way and my granddaddy was that way and I'm that way. Just a part of my nature. I've always been that way. But when you get salvation, it's time for you to quit being like you've always been. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. It's just time to quit being like you've always been. Let God change your disposition along with your nature and make you different. He says it's not going to be like it was down there in the land of Egypt. You sowed, you watered with your foot, your garden of herbs, and so on. Too many people trying to live their lives these days by human efforts. That's the way that worked out with them. That is just their human efforts and the things that they were doing. But God told the children of Israel concerning the land of Canaan, it was a land flowing with milk and honey, and there were wells over there, wells of water that they didn't dig, and there was granaries over there filled with grain that they didn't plant and harvest. Everything was all set up for them. Everything was all ready when they got in the land of Canaan. It wasn't human effort at all. God had it already prepared for them. God has a wonderful place prepared for you and me if we'll just get there. Those people didn't get there that he first promised this to. They all fell in the wilderness out there of 20 years of age and upward, wandered around out there 40 years and perished out there, grumbled and complained because things wasn't this way and things wasn't that way and they didn't have this and they didn't have that and murmured and so on. God didn't like it. He struck them with a plague one time and killed thousands of them in a day for their murmuring. He didn't like that. He doesn't like that now. But everything they were murmuring about not having and complaining about, it is already set up for them over there in the land of Canaan if they had just gone on over there. But they balked on God. They failed to get there. And murmured and complained all the time about we don't have this and we don't have that and it is all right over there set up for them. God had it fixed. But he says, the land whither ye go to possess it is a land of hills and waters, and or hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. Your land, in one sense, is your soul. In another sense, it's the promises of God. In the 58th chapter of Isaiah, in verse 11, he said, thy soul shall be as a watered garden, and as a spring of water whose waters fail not. Just an overflowing wellspring of living water. Jesus said, if you'll drink of the water that I give you, it'll be in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Again he said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit. Thy soul shall be as a watered garden. 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter in verse 9 says, ye are God's husbandry. Ye, you. individually, you're God's husbandry, and collectively, the church is God's husbandry. The footnote says tillage. It's the equivalent of a field to be plowed. And God said in His word that Zion shall be plowed as a field. God's taking care of this field. God's running things here. He's doing the irrigating. He's doing the fertilizing. He's doing the pruning. He's doing everything to enable you and me to bring forth an abundance of fruit for Him. I picked up a little thought from Papa Pruitt. Papa Pruitt's been gone now to be with the Lord for 18 years. But I still have this thought. I have some more, too, that he passed on to me and that I still carry. But he was referring to the soul of man as a garden. He said God wanted a garden. So he planted a garden eastward in Eden and put the man that he'd made in there to prune it and dress it and take care of it. He said that project failed because the man failed. But he still wanted a garden. So later on, he remembered that the garden that he put the man in had failed. That project went awry. So he said, this time, I'm going to put the garden in the man and I'm going to take care of it. Man didn't take good care of it. But now I'm going to put the garden in the man and I'm going to take care of it. So God has a garden in your soul that He irrigates and fertilizes and cultivates and prunes and dresses and takes care of, that it may bring forth an abundance of fruit for Him. That's the kind of a land God promised you and me. A land of wells of water. Drinketh in the rain. A land blessed with the dews of heaven. A land where abundance of fruit is being born. Fruits of the Spirit. Brother Pruitt went a little farther with the thought and he said, Jesus walks around down there in that garden he's got. And he picks some of that luscious fruit and he takes a taste of it and smacks his lips. And you say, Amen, praise the Lord. That's Christ doing that. He said in the Scriptures, in the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. And when we're praising God, that's Christ praising God through us because of some of that luscious fruit that has blessed His taste. Let us rise and journey on to the place concerning the which the Lord has said, I'll give it you. God's promised us a rich land, a rich heritage, a wonderful possession, a fullness of divine grace, and we'll just move on into it. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter and verse 7, he says, For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive, and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness, thou shalt not lack anything in it. Is that where you're dwelling today? Are you in that kind of a habitation? Or are you going through life on short rations? Are you poor or are you rich? Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And folks, I say to you this morning that the kingdom of heaven is the greatest riches there is. And if you be poor enough, you can be exceedingly rich. Poor in spirit, heirs of the kingdom of God. Exceedingly rich. He says, "I'll eat bread without scarceness." This is a land of wheat, barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, oil, olive, and honey. Folks, if you can't get a balanced, healthful rations and diet out of that, I don't know where you'd go to get it. If we'll just avail ourselves of the things that God has provided for us, that is available to us, we can have a good, rich, healthful diet all the time. Everything's in here. All things are provided for the children of God. You can have all your vitamins, all your proteins, everything that your spiritual system needs to grow on. Desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. There's abundance of supply for every child of God. Folks, the good news I bring you this morning is we do not have to go through life on short rations. We do not have to go through life lacking anything. The Bible says that the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but he that fears the Lord shall not want any good thing. It's everything right there. A bountiful supply for our needs. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." One of our songs says, "Can a bird drink up the ocean thirsting still from shore to shore?" Well, we know that wouldn't be possible, don't we? But it goes on to say, "Can the God of all creation leave my heart yet craving more?" That's just as impossible. The psalmist again said, "He'll make me to drink of the rivers of his pleasure and be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of his house." Folks, the good news that I bring you is that there is a fulfilling in the provisions that God has made for you and me in salvation, leaving us lacking nothing, wanting nothing, satisfied. One little girl said, "The Lord," she was going to recite the 23rd Psalm, she said, "The Lord's my shepherd and that's all I want." God fulfills every desire of the human heart. Let's journey on into the land concerning which he said he would give it to us. Clifford sang that song just before I stepped up here. joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the Lord got that to me one time in such an impressive way that I never forgot it, and it's been more than 40 years ago. And a man came into the office where I was working and talked a little while. And in the course of his conversation, he said, "Willie, would you hire out to a man to work for him for a penny a day and double it every day for 30 days? Well, I just quick thought, a penny the first day, 2 pennies the second day, 4 pennies the third day, 8 pennies the fourth day. Well, looked to me like it was going to be a long time before I'd even be getting a dollar a day. I said, "No, I don't believe I'd do that." Well, after he left, I thought, well, I wonder why he asked me a question like that. There must be some trick in that. So I sat down, got me a piece of paper, and took a pencil, and I put down 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, and on down the line for 30 times and totaled it up. And you know, I was the most surprised man you ever saw. How much you reckon I got? It's better than $11 million. And I was thinking about this scripture and a couple of others all the time I was doing this. The Lord said, "Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." And another says, "For your shame ye shall have double, and for confusion ye shall rejoice in your portion. In all the land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them." Well, I saw how doubles mounted up. And that God was offering doubles, dealing in doubles. I thought how many sins I had. I don't know how many I had, but Bud Robinson said that when he got under conviction and God was dealing with him, said his sins all came home to him and there was a swarming around his head like a swarm of bees. A lot of sins. Trade every one of them off for a double portion of joy and gladness, and you come out with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Folks, there's a possession for you and me. There's something out there beyond what many of us are enjoying. Let us not settle short. Let us not stop and settle down where we are. But let us rise up and journey on to the land concerning which the Lord said, "I'll give it you." He's promised us a rich land. A land of great and wonderful and rich blessings. A land where life is fulfilled in Himself. The Word of God says, "Ye are complete in Him." Folks, we may think we have to have a lot of this or some of that or whatnot, whatever, to make life complete. But I can tell you that life is full and complete with Jesus without a lot of this and that. And many other things. Life is full and complete in Him. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter in verses 6, beginning with verse 6, says, "The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed, their young ones shall lie down together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Folks, that's something great there I was reading to you right out of God's Word. There's a fullness in that. There's a greatness there. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. How unnatural that is. Every once in a while somebody says to me about this or that that saints do. Well, that's not natural. I say, of course not. It's spiritual. It's in the spirit. God doesn't have you and me living in the natural. He has us living in the spirit. Said if we walk in the spirit, let us also live in the spirit. And this is a life in the spirit. It's a spiritual life. And we're not limited by those things which are natural. People say this is natural with me and that's natural with me. I'm describing to you here out of God's Word a situation and a condition and a work of grace that will completely change the individual. One little girl said to her sister one time, says, Barbara, I'll tell you, the Bible doesn't end in Timothy, it ends in Revolutions. And so it does, folks. The grace of God in the soul will work such a complete revolution in your way of behavior, in your way of thinking, in your way of acting, that you'll truly realize you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And in this situation that this portion of the Scripture defines to you and me, describes to us, is a place where all of our natural propensities and everything that corresponds to the nature and spirit of these kind of animals that he mentions here is completely eradicated, brought under subjection, and a little child can lead a lion or a bear or a wolf. A little child can lead them. God will make you and me safe. Safe for anybody. Safe for the most meek and humble person. God will make us safe for them. Little child leading a lion or bear or wolf or leopard around, that's an unheard of thing, isn't it? But God can so change your nature and so work you over that a little child can handle you. You may have been rambunctious. Everybody may have been afraid of you, and you may have bulldozed people around and and rode over them, and they just stood back and gave you a wide berth, so to speak. But when God gets through with you, it won't be that way. These wild, vicious animals, completely domesticated and tamed, brought down to where a little child can handle them and lead them. He's describing salvation here. This 11th chapter of Isaiah is a description of Christ's peaceable kingdom. It's a prophecy concerning what will be accomplished when Christ comes and establishes His kingdom in the hearts of people. And how He'll bring into subjection and under control all those wild, rambunctious dispositions and things that people have that make them a menace, you'll bring them under a control till they'll be manageable. That's great. That's a land that the Lord our God has promised us. If we're falling short, let's just journey on. Let's don't stop short. We may be short now, but if we are, let's don't stop short. Let's just journey on to the land concerning the which the Lord has promised us. This is a place of complete safety. Said the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp and the weaned child on the cockatrice den. Jesus said to his people, the 10th chapter of Luke, verse 19, he says, "Behold, I give you power to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Folks, we don't have to be down where our feelings are getting hurt all the time. Where we're always receiving offense or committing offense, God can so change you and me that we'll not be offending other folks and we'll not be getting offended, not be receiving any offense. It'll be a peaceable, safe habitation where we dwell. Moses said, we are journeying unto the place concerning the which God said, I will give it to you. God has provided this kind of a habitation for the saints, a full and complete salvation, and it's our business to move on into it. Just move forward. Thus were the journeyings of the children of Israel according to their armies when they set forward. And God help you and me to set forward to possess things that we've never possessed yet. And to have a fuller, deeper, more fulfilling, more glorious experience and relationship with Christ and God than we've ever had yet. Amen.